Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, open our eyes, our hearts, our ears to hear your word, that your Holy Spirit might work faith in us, to renew us in that relationship that we have you that makes us one with you through Christ and one with one another as well through Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. I have no introduction tonight. Most sermons have an introduction. Instead, I have an invitation. And I suppose if you want to get picky, you can say my invitation is the introduction. But let's not get picky yet, okay? I want to invite you into a confirmation classroom. Confirmation classroom that I was a part of just this last evening. And here's the why that I want to invite you into a confirmation classroom. By the way, when I say invite you into a confirmation classroom, some of you might be filled with fear and trepidation. It's really okay. It's really okay. It's a wonderful place to be. And the reason, again, that I want to invite you into that classroom is this. And the this is that this is a terribly, terribly tough text. I know this because I spent time with it. I know this because I was told by the president of one of our seminaries that it's a terribly tough text. I know this because I was told by a professor that this is a very difficult text. But here's the point from confirmation, and this is the point I want you to remember, that the Holy Spirit works through his word. As we opened up our Bibles the other night on Wednesday night, what we were introducing our young people to, and I'm reintroducing you to, is that this is one of our principles of faith, and that is that the Holy Spirit actually works through this word. But the problem here is, what is it that the Holy Spirit's working? You have his word in your hands, and you have the Holy Spirit by virtue of being a child of God. But I want to ask you, where's the gospel in this text? And so I want to go to point number two that we brought home to our kids that night. Point number one, Holy Spirit is there to help you. Works through the word. Point number two, Scripture is about Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. Amen? Amen. Find the forgiveness of sins in this text. Well, this is what makes the text difficult. The speaker, first word out of the box, is Jesus, right? Easy to find Jesus here. And I will grant you that there is debt reduction. Some people like to pray, forgive us our trespasses. Some people like to pray, forgive us our debts. And there is debt reduction going on in this text. But it's by a shrewd dude. A man that you would look at and say he's rather unscrupulous, don't you think? And yet what also makes it tough is not only does he forgive one man 50% of his debt, and he forgives another man at least 20% of his debt, when the master who was about to fire him, or maybe did fire him, left a little bit uncertain, which is kind of the way with parables, the master then has some good things to say. He admires the shrewdness of this one that we would find very unscrupulous. So that it comes down to this message that is brought home to you. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Amen? This is the gospel of the Lord? Well, that brings us to point three from confirmation the other night. And confirmation point three is this. Scripture interprets Scripture. Where is the answer? Where is Jesus and the forgiveness of sins? Well, it's not simply locked into this text. This text is only a portion of God's word. But there are some hints. There are some clues, there are some connections to the gospel of the Jesus who forgives sins. And one of those hints, one of those connections is found in that very first word, Jesus. Jesus is the one who is telling this parable. And one of the reasons Jesus told parables was so people would think about things. And they'd walk away with a story in their head. And they'd be chewing on this for a while. And I want to remind you that Jesus means he saves. So that the very first word in this text has to do with one who saves. And the very first word in this text gives me hope, and I hope gives you hope, that among those who are listening to this parable, to this terribly difficult difficult section of God's Word because it doesn't seem to be obviously pointing to Jesus as the Savior of the world, my hope is that those who were listeners and who've maybe been chewing on this parable for a while are standing at the foot of a cross on a hill called Calvary. And as they're chewing on this parable, they come to realize that perhaps this text, this parable, was really about not debt reduction, but debt forgiveness, debt eradication. That the one who tells of the steward who forgives half of a debt, the one who tells of a steward who forgives 20% of a debt, the one who has a master who then applauds that individual for that, is the one who is the Son of God, who is silent while his Son suffers on that cross that day, and in that suffering forgives us all of our debt. Our debt is not only reduced, our debt is eradicated. He cancels the debt. And not to cheat the master, but because it is pleasing to God that Jesus does this. And now I want you to return. As we leave Calvary and the blood, sweat, and tears Savior, blood flowing from his side, sweat from his face as he prayed, tears as he wept over Jerusalem and even over Lazarus, I want to return you to point number one from confirmation class. That is that the Holy Spirit helps us through this word. And my invitation to you this night, as you go home hopefully chewing on this parable and letting it disturb you a little bit, it's part of the purpose of the parable, that you go home tonight and marvel not at the shrewd one who takes accounts and reduces them, but that you rejoice in the one who takes your debt and cancels it completely. I challenge you to realize that our debt is forgiven for a purpose. That debt on Calvary was forgiven by Jesus, that was given that stamp of approval through the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday. That was all done that we might be one. We might not be separated by the debt that we owe because of our sin. That we might be one with our Heavenly Father. And when we are one with our Heavenly Father, then that means we are one with one another. All of us who confess this same faith. I was with Raymond Kaija. You won't meet Raymond next weekend. You'll meet his bishop from Africa, from Uganda. Raymond was with us in Texas as partner churches that are helping support Lutheran Church Uganda. And they supporting us with their love and so forth. We're together. And he gave a devotion. And this devotion is coming from a man who has to travel wide and far in the region that he represents. He's like a district president there. This devotion is coming from a man who watches his seminary hardly be able to graduate. The very first class that's going to graduate as pastors. This devotion comes from a man who is eagerly anticipating two or three new pastors in his region, because right now he is one pastor alongside of another pastor in a region that serves 25 congregations. Do the math. And he gave a devotion about how we are one. And when I look at Ray, by the way, his nickname is Cobra Killer. He's very proud of that. This is his sign, Cobra Killer. As I look at Ray, I find that I'm hampered by my Western eyes. And perhaps you are too when you think about mission, when you think about maybe even going into the inner city, when you think about going places that don't have as much as we do. I'm plagued by those Western eyes, those affluent eyes that tend to look at what people don't have with deficit lenses. But Ray's devotion about being one in Christ, and a little session I heard this past Thursday through Sendy St. Louis, open my heart and eyes, and I hope opens your heart and eyes to what we would call asset thinking. Not looking at what I don't have in life, and measuring how I'm going to then give to the Lord based on what I don't have. But looking at how it is that I am going to be a giving, offering, supporting, ministry supporting member, fruit producing disciple of Jesus Christ based on the assets that God has given, not only to Raymond Taija in Uganda, Africa, but to me as I stand here and sit here and work here and live here in this place. And the assets are all found in Jesus Christ. That same forgiveness of sins, that same debt cancellation that is Raymond's, that is mine, is yours. And now, rather than asking, how is it that I don't have what my neighbor has, I can ask myself, how is it that I can best serve God with the assets that he has given me, having canceled my debt? May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, surpasses all of our understanding how he can possibly cancel such debt, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus.